Well, bring you Bob Baffert. Why not? We'll spend a little time talking with him. The 1992 Breeders' Cup Sprint, the first of many Breeders' Cup victories for you, my friend. That has to bring back a few memories.
Actually, the first Thoroughbred I ever purchased at auction. I bought him for $30,000. I was scared to death. Didn't have an owner. I was trembling, shaking, trying signing the ticket. Then all of a sudden, my name was being called to the office because I never got credit pre-check. So I had to run back there, and they told me, Mr. Baffert, we don't have your credit here. Well, I didn't think I was going to buy a horse. I was trying to get this other client to buy the horse, and he bailed on me. So I raised my hand, and but I'm good for it. I told him, well, we need to call your bank right now.
So it's quarter horse, guys.
Luckily, I had just enough funds to cover the $30,000. And they put a lock on it. Keeneland's used to be really, really tough, you know. But that's the only time I've ever been called in the office to to double check my credit. You know, what do you expect? I'm walking around with a cowboy hat on, you know. Nobody knew who I was, and but that was the first horse, and that's why he was by Sloopy. And if somebody asked me how much did you give for him, and I told him I gave 30 freaking slews for him, and that's why he got his name. And I shipped him. Hey, I shipped him on a trailer all the way to Los Alamitos, and I kept him there for a week, and I cut him up. You know, I just pieced him off there. Took me a week to do it, but we got it done.
Could you imagine at that point you'd be sitting here today having trained a Triple Crown winner, having won all the other Breeders' Cup races you've won? Could you even imagine?
No, I mean, I can't imagine I won a Breeders' Cup with him because I didn't know what I was doing at the time. So that horse is so good that I wish I had him now. I could have probably won a couple Breeders' Cup races with him. And so fortunately, he pulled it through, and it was so exciting. I remember when he hit the wire, I thought, this is it. I've reached the top of my professional. This will never get any better than this. You know, I might as well go back to training quarter horses and stuff. But, you know, it sort of started picking up a little bit of steam. And in this business, we're only good for about 6 months off of what we do. So, you know, that really helped me. But actually, what really got me going is the classics. When I had Cavanier, the cowbred, when he won the Santa Anita Derby and went to the Derby, and then you got beat by Grindstone the last 30 nostril.
Tough beat.
And that was tough. And it was like, and I remember telling that, I told everybody that I was, one thing I got out of the way is the toughest beat of my life is out of the way. So here comes Real Quiet in the Belmont. Why'd I say that? So here comes Elliot Walden, who'd been chasing me all along. So he was, you know, he was due some luck. So, I mean, that horse was a really good horse. So Victory Gallop. And he just nailed me right on the wire. And it's funny that in those Triple Crown, I'd use Gary Stevens, get beat in the Triple Crown. Vic Stevens comes back, he beats me in the Triple Crown. I mean, it's just McCarron beats me. He was riding Silver Charm earlier. So it's, you know, it can be a cruel business at times, but I really can't complain about how lucky and blessed I've been.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch your action. I was already training when you started in the thoroughbred business, and it's just been basically a meteoric rise to stardom. But it's not accidental. I mean, a lot of times people tease about you getting to the barn at 8 o'clock and all that stuff, but you work your ass off, and it's not a shocker that you are where you are today. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before, but when you got into the Hall of Fame, that was a whole different kettle of fish. You became like a super trainer then. Everything that you did was perfect and continues on to this day.
He's still working. He's doing a radio interview. He's still working.
He's semaphoring.
I just watched the owners of Hopportunity. They're walking around lost. So
where's our trainer?
I'm here.
Hey, where's the action? We want some action.
Let's touch on Hopportunity and Arrowgate. You're going for an unprecedented third consecutive win in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
I've been asked that. I said, what's it going to feel like? I mean, it's not going to be any feeling different than I won the first one. You know, it's going to be exciting. You know, but this horse, Arrowgate, he just, I don't know how good he is. You know, we never let him run in his works. We In his races, Bejarano rode him, never really set him down, and I was going to run him into San Diego, but then he got sick. He was he had a little bug, and so then I had to run him into Lyons Fair. We're going to run him into Travers, and Bejarano always said, this horse wants to go a mile and a quarter. He wants the full mile and a quarter, and he told we're going to win the Travers, so then so we went up there, and he had to ride American Freedom because he'd been riding them, and so riding them well, and so I didn't want to really, you know, sometimes there's a lot of politics involved here, and I got to put out fires and stuff, so, you know, these jockeys and the owner, they feel, well, why is he, you know, taking off my horse, and he's been riding them, and so, so I told him, you're going to have to ride this horse, so I got Mike Smith to ride him, and so we told Mike, just, you know, he's a really, really good horse, and just let him, put him on the lead, and let's see what he does, and, you know, he doesn't break that well, and the other horse is going to just, you know, took the blinkers off the other horse, American Freedom, he's going to sit, and I think, you know, I really thought he should have won the Haskell. He just had a little bad luck there. He waited too long to kick on with him, and then in it, the Sorenwood, brilliant move, coming over and just cutting right in front of him, just took the momentum right away from him, and so with Exaggerator, so when he turned for home, I saw those fractions, and my wife is always saying, he's going too fast, but he's just he jumped so far, and he's got his head down, he's rolling, and when he turned for home, I thought, they're not going to catch this horse, and I'm looking like, from there, I quit watching him, I'm thinking, hold on for a second, give that second, let's take it all. I was even like, wow, you know, I was wowed by it, and so, and he came back, and it was so funny how Mike Smith, he comes back and he goes, wow, you guys were right. He can really run. Because it was going to be a one-shot deal for Mike. He was going to ride him once, so, hey, he test drove that dude all over the town. I told Mike, why'd you let him win by so much? He goes, hey, boss, you know, I couldn't. I look at the screen, but the sun was hitting it. I couldn't tell. Oh, yeah, right. He wanted to see, hey, what do you got there? He felt a little, you know, Lamborghini. Just opened it up a little bit, see what he got. But it was pretty exciting. And he still, you know, it wasn't that taxing on him, you know. So I've just taken my time. And I wanted to give him a prep here, but, you know, I just thought running him against Chrome and the Awesome again, that would be like, you know, if I'm going to run against Chrome and run that hard, let's do it for $6 million. You know, it's like a heavyweight title fight, and if he's good enough, you know, but so coming in here, you know, we feel confident that he'll run well, but I just don't know if, you know, he's really up to the beating Chrome, and how can you root against Art Sherman? You know, it's a tough, he's such a sweet man and everything. And so, but it's, you know, first or second where, you know, if he can run a decent race, and, you know, he's supposed to run second. So if he runs second, it's not going to be like the end of the world. But I think he's a deer. You know, I think he's going to be the man and have a lot of fun and win some big races. But it's just, you know, to have a horse for Judmon Farms, who's like, they're like franchise. They're like the Dallas Cowboys of Europe, you know. So makes me feel really proud that we're on that team. And, you know, it gives you a little bit of, you know, respect, you know, that they actually pick me. You know, they're easily, you know, they had Bobby Frankel. And Frankel just, you know, he was one of the greatest ever. So, you know, to sort of put me in that same category, it made me feel, you know, pretty good about it. Well, you know what? I guess I'm not that bad.
It's remarkable, Bob, that you can have the Jockey Club Gold Cup winner in your barn, and very few people are talking about him. Opportunity's been with you for a long time, and he's won over $3 million. He's done everything you've asked, and he finally gets his shot at a Breeders' Cup. And I'm, you know, realistically, I know he's going to be a longer shot than Arrogate, obviously. But do you ever just turn the corner and go pat that horse on the neck and say, well done?
He's one of the favorites of the barn. He's a cute horse, but every time we walk by there, I always call him the Nibbler, you know. And so Opportunity is a horse that Mike Smith, we were talking about him. I said, well, we're this, and he's going to run second. He's going to run third. I always tell him, oh, he'll run third, whatever. He just gets a piece at the end. He comes flying at the end. He always beats everybody at the the pole after the wire. He's always in the finish line. If the finish line could be there, he'd win. Like, I took him to Keeneland last year. He blew by everybody pulling up. But Mike Smith, he was telling me this a few months ago. He says, you know, let me tell you something about opportunity. He's going to surprise you. He's going to win a big one. He's going to get a big one one of these days. I said, you know what, Mike? He came within an inch of winning the biggest race of his life. He says, what race was that? I said, in Dubai, if that saddle would have slipped one more inch back on California Chrome, he would have started bucking, probably taking out the inside horse. He would. That was his chance right there. But so the other day when he was riding FNX, he says, I'm turning for home. He said, Mike says, I'm going. I said, it looks like I can see the wire coming. My horse is running. And all of a sudden I hear a horse coming up. And he says, I hope that's not opportunity. And all of a sudden he looks over and sees that. He said, man, what? I knew he was due for a big one. But that horse, he is really, he is doing so well. Right now he's doing the best. You know, that race really perked him up. And he couldn't be doing any better. I mean, can he win it? I don't think so. He can beat those horses. But, you know, if something happens, if there's a pace meltdown, you know, there might be a pace meltdown or whatever. But he will be coming late, and he will light the board. That's one thing about him. He will come running. He always gets a big check. And that's why he's made $3.5 million. But he's like, we should have named him Rodney Dangerfield or something. he never gets the total respect, you know. If he was in anybody else's barn, they'd be sleeping outside his stall. You know, but he's a really nice horse to be around, and he's just solid. You can count on him. You know, he's just like that fullback that you know when you need a yard or two, give it to Hopper. You know, so that's him.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and for those of you watching at BreedersCup.com and HorseRacingRadio.net. Bob, let me ask you about one other horse in particular in this year's Breeders' Cup, because I hope I didn't jinx you, but I picked you to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Klimt, and a horse that Jude and I saw when we were out here, beaten by Gormley last time out, but I think he turns the tables. Tell me about him.
Yeah, I really like him. I think, you know, when he won that Del Mar Futurity, it was really impressive. You know, he beat a really nice horse. Came back. I really didn't do too much with him. He was, he'd run hard, trained him light. I didn't really bear down. I wanted to get that race through him, two turns, and he got away a little slow. That day, track was really deep, and it's, you know, this track has been dead. A lot of sand, it's loose. Took a lot of dirt. He was back there. He was so far back. I gave him no chance at all. 3/8 pole, he was just so far back, and all of a sudden, he dug in and came up and ran second. Gormley, he was just gone around. He's a nice horse. Got a perfect trip, and for him, so. But, you know, he has I was wanting to draw the inside, but not that inside. But I think he's, I think he has a lot of quality. I always thought when he could run two turns. So if he can just not lose, you know, break with him and stay in contention, I think he's like New Year's Day. He can just sit back there right close by and wait for something, because there's going to be something going to happen, because there's so much speed in there. So, I think it's a really tough race, but I that Syndergaard, I was really impressed with him. He has a lot of speed, and how far he can take it, we don't know. But I think that the you know, he's just have to get lucky on the inside and come running. But he is doing well.
Mike Smith was so excited yesterday when he got off American Gal. I mean, he couldn't say enough nice things about American Gal. She looks good in there. You're doubled up in so many races, but you know. What do you think about her?
Well, she had those two races. She's really fast filly. I don't know if she can get the two turns. You know, we're here. You know, if it was somewhere else, I wouldn't have put her on a plane probably. But I was, when she drew the 12, I thought, well, I talked to Kaleem. I said, I don't know about running her. You know, she's in the 12 hole, whatever. She's got to be used up. But it's not really post position, but it's like, I said, I'm just afraid that, you know, she is fast. If she turns for home, you know how they hit that imaginary wall. You know, you just don't know until you send them two turns. So we're going to have to use her hard from the outside. She has a lot of speed. So I said, you know what, let me just have Mike Smith work her tomorrow. And I usually don't let Mike Smith work a lot of horses because he goes too fast, which he went too fast yesterday. So I said, Mike, just cruise around there. Just give me an idea. What do you think? Am I wasting my time? Well, I don't want to go up there and embarrass this filly, you know. So he came out there, put a horse in front, and she went around there in 46-1 and out in 59 and change. And I go, well, you know, so he came back and but she wasn't really, she wasn't blowing, you know, she wasn't like, so I asked Mike, and so he loved her. Now, maybe he just doesn't want to be playing pool during that race or what? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but we'll see what happens.
Which of the Baffert horses is Bodie picking to win on Friday or
Bodie
Saturday?
Bodie is so politically correct, he would never answer that. I had him up at Travers, and he knew we loved Arrogate, and I remember the there were NBC, the hockey player.
Eddie Olchek.
Eddie Olchek. He was trying to get him. He wouldn't do it. He just said, no, I'm not sure. I don't care which one. I'm not sure. And I said, Bodie, it's okay. You could have just said, you know. He said, Dad, I says, these owners are going to watch this show, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I'm not
smart kid.
Smart kid, yeah. He's going to run for president someday.
That wouldn't be so bad.
We're training him very young.
I might give him a write-in vote this year. Yeah, Bodie for president.
Bob, his dad could not run for president. Too many open mics. Open mic.
Bob Baffert with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bob, as always, you're always very gracious with your time, and really appreciate you stopping by on what
I really had nothing to do right now.
I figured just
nervous energy.
It's just like Mike Smith with the juvenile.
Yeah, you saw me just wandering around there. Look at poor Bob. Nobody's talking to him. He's by himself.
You've had those ups and downs where nobody talks to you, but you always talk to us, and we appreciate it.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. Well, you guys have a great show. I love listening to you guys, and you know, you bring a lot. I love your interviews when you interview different trainers and stuff like that, because you know, a lot of people don't know a lot about us. That we're when they see us, usually when they see us on camera, we're like 100 things are going through our minds, and we're, you know, you're edgy, you know, you're edgy and stuff like that. So. So I've talked to one of the trainers today, and he was, you know, he had a problem there. There, you know, you've got like a foot, you know, foot bruise or something. You know, there's always something going on. I go, well, how's it going today? I said, well, I was in those situations yesterday where I didn't know whether there's a fire coming. Do I take my valuables out of the house or just get out there with a hose and just try to fight it? So that's what we're going through all week long. All right, guys.